Good evening and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at www.lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounge, as it's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, an old friend is joining us once again. He's a familiar face and voice here on Northwest Indiana's public radio station, Mr. Jeff Sarver of Northwest Indiana. We have featured Jeff on Scribbler on the Roof release, Streets of Garryton, when he's released those. He's got a new live album coming that we've teased about, and he's got some other new projects. We've got Jeff in studio to talk about all things Jeff. And it's coming up after your headlines here. Good evening, everyone. This is Tom Lounges. This is Lakeshore Public Radio. Thank you for supporting NPR. Midwest Beat is a program all about music and people who make it. And the gentleman I've got joining me here on the program this evening has been here many times before. Many times over the years, he is. We officially counted tonight, and we think we've come up with the formal figure of 22 albums to his credit, and that's just counting studio projects. We'll get more into that in just a bit. We featured Jeff about a year or two ago when Scribbler on the Roof came out, and also more recently with Streets of Garryton. Jeff Sarver is prolific. He always is writing, recording, performing. There's no stopping this guy. He is the Energizer Bunny of rock and roll in Chicagoland. In fact, he has a world record out there. Maybe we'll touch on that. I know we've touched on it in the past. But right now, we're going to feature some music. We're going to go back to the album that kind of started this latest chapter, Scribbler on the Roof. And this came out about 2 years ago. And this is First Day of Fall. This is kind of a dark song, as are many that he's doing these days. Jeff Sarver will join us after this. Turn it up.
First day of fall, heard the fallen angels calling me to crawl my way back to see it all. Second day I knew, as always is the case with me, the music must get through. Third time's a charm, whatever the call. Ain't no harm in drawing straws. A fourth time around, five houses down, the liquor store of Old Town. Oh no, a six pack of hope. Little road, there you go. It's always so. I'll move along, as good as I'm gone. In a lifetime of song, I had a ball. first day of fall.
It's the first day of fall. Well, that's the song anyway, even though it is the beginning of spring. First day of fall, very dark sounding, very beautiful. The music complementing the voice just riding over this beautiful guitar. And Jeff Sarver is the one who created that. That's going back to 2017. On the first of a trilogy of albums called Scribbler on the Roof, we have the second one we're going to get to shortly called Streets of Garryton. And there is a third installment coming up along with a bonus live album, I believe. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Once again, it is just a thrill to be here. You're one of my hippest buddies. And I never even know where to start. What do you think?
Well,
hey, I know where to start. Did you see the movie Pirate Radio?
Yeah, a long time back.
I like that cool guy that comes on the boat. This one's for the ladies. And I was thinking, I saw this just a couple nights ago. It says, well, when I get in there, I thought I'd try settling down. Mm-hmm. Maybe not talking 100 miles an hour.
Doing that midnight
smoky
voice.
Smoky midnight voice.
There you go.
You know?
Well, that song, First Day of Fall, kind of had that groove to it. It was very much a song you would picture sitting in a dark room. You're keeping us company, and it's got one of those evening vibes, one of those lonely evening winter vibes, or fall.
You know, when I laid it down, it was probably seventh in a batch of 20-some songs that laid, and I do swear that once John touched on it,
John Carpenter,
and put that round, we called it the whale sounds, you know, in there. We just knew this chemistry was in effect. It was certainly just no joke. We had done a couple of cooler upbeat ones, mm-hmm. like the title track, junka junka bonka bonka, you know, that kind of pump along. But that was that first stripped to the bare. No beat whatsoever, ethereality of a place, a dark, dark place. Now, let me explain. The truth is, it's about a six-pack of beer. And, you know, on the first day of fall, this happens. On the second day, this happens. On the third day, and then on the fourth day, and then on the fifth day, and then it goes, oh, no, because now he's going down to the liquor store to get some more, you know? And I thought this was really...
It's like Jeff's version of the 12 Days of Christmas.
It is. And exactly. You've hit it on the head. It's going in the other direction because, yes, it's certainly a progressive disease. I promised I would kick back tonight.
Well,
but yeah, what's fun is that, you know, some people got it, some people didn't. Mm-hmm. You need to hear that line, I guess, a six-pack of hope. And there you go, little rope. You know, and I don't know if that is that hemp, is that twine? Yeah. It's hard to tell with me.
Wow.
But, George Rebar is here with us tonight. He has been a partner in crime with me since 1989. George has seriously been around since my second solo album, and I'm happy that he's here. I kind of surprised Tom with him, but say hi, George, while you're drinking.
Hi, everybody out there.
All right.
Now, thanks for having me.
We were talking, you just mentioned that George has been with you since the second album. We were talking, the official count, we believe, is 22 studio albums.
No, but as we just said, we know of four that are missing. So please, anybody out there, if you have Benzene Jag, Moonday Blues 2, Stellazine, there's one other one. I don't want to waste any more time, so there's a lot I want to play tonight. But yeah, I think of, oh my God, the two Lemonade Candles albums. Not kidding. We are probably seriously in the department of 26 studio records
and a few live.
And two live albums.
Wow.
I have an unreleased 1F at F8 that is really a pleasant record, but I haven't put that out yet. And I'm looking forward to that one, too. I played over at Figure Eight Brewing. I'm a brewery. I'm a big fan of their beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll drink anything. I think we all know that, but... I'll drink anything. But I really, really like that Figure Eight beer out there. That's good stuff. I don't know if you've ever been in there or how much beer drinking you do.
Not as much as I used to do.
I don't either, and that's just a bunch of load of, you know.
That song that we just closed with, or actually opened with and closed with, First Day of Fall.
Can it lead to a darker place from there?
I was going to say, you... and John took a lot of care in the sequencing of these songs. There's 10 tracks on each of these albums. And the sequencing, it leaves us waiting. It just ends. It just ends in this darkness.
Conceptual continuity. I learned this one from Frank Zappa, actually. There's high concept, and then there is a something bigger than, you know, the word trilogy. You know, somebody goes into the studio and you lay down 35 songs and you go, goodness, 22 of these are killer. So right away you get in this, well, is it a double album? And then in a process that takes 6 months, you write seven more, and now you're in the throes of, wait a minute, it's two different records. That's kind of what happened here.
Okay.
Because I will honestly say that I feel bands globally really do play on this trilogy thing. The minute they finish their records, they want you to know they have something coming. But I do mean to say, when I finish a record, I usually have three more coming, and I'm almost getting staled out of that word trilogy, because I do have a tendency to go in and lay down 35 songs per record. It's like, gee, I didn't mean to like 31 of them. And that's, you know, at 10 songs per record, that's why you end
up. So the 10 that are on the first album here, which is Scribbler on the Roof, you have 10 more on Streets of Garryton. Were they written approximately the same time?
Yes. The whole thing happened in 10 months.
Okay. All
three. With one, with a little bit of a break in the middle at the holidays, where we stopped like around December 22nd, and we began again around February 15th, and we got that album out on April 20th. Both times. There was a break. I will take those breaks, because what happens is I go home and I have my, what was I thinking? These three songs do not fit with this anywhere. You know, I go in there and John look at me like I'm crazy. He's like, these are all good. Cool it. You know, divvy them out. It's two records. I said, yeah, well, wait till you see these. And I pull out 11 more. He goes, well, it's three records. These are 10-minute songs, John. It's 4.5 records. Of course, he's getting paid.
Right.
It's, you know, no, John is a really, I'm not a good self-editor. I would probably put everything out, but when I'd lay a track and I'd look at him and what he thinks, you know, he'll let me know if he'd heard that before, if it sounds like something else. You know, he's been very helpful in that way.
Now, these, you're working on the third album now. Now, we're going to play something off the second album, Streets of Garryton, in just a minute, but you have a third one in the works. Mm-hmm. What is the target date on that?
I'm afraid it's going to be Halloween. I like to do an album every 420.
Okay.
Because I'm got myself a little problem.
Okay.
Thinkfish. Hey, listen to Thinkfish.
So, unless we can do an album in 4 days here, we're not going to make
it. You know,
deadline.
I wouldn't put anything like that past me, though. That's why I feel really uncomfortable answering this question right now. I might, you know, I might pull out of here, George, get me over to Thunderclap now. I got something to show Tommy here, you know. What will probably happen most certainly is a Halloween release, because I'm really liking the we have a very big poetry project going on right now with my buddy George Rebar here. It involves many, many musicians from the area. And I'm not kidding. There's probably 20 people on this record.
Well, we'll get to that
in
just a bit.
I know. I didn't want to go any further there. But the current was what? I'm target date. Yeah, the album is called Wolf in Sleep's Clothing, and the target date is Halloween. Now, it may have a bonus live album with it, or I may put the live album out separately. I love the live record.
I agree.
Really feel like it sounds good. It almost sounds like studio work, you know? I mean, I'm my hand is getting harder and harder to work with. My right hand is falling apart on me as I speak. But those performances inspired me, like, no, you got this, go get it, you know? But piano playing has been suffering a little bit lately. Nerves are growing back, and fingers are not working at all. It's pretty much thumb and index now.
Okay.
So it's just, that area is a mess, and I don't want to go on about it. But there's no doubt that I've been held up by finances, too.
The album is done.
Oh, it's done, mastered and ready. It's covered, you know, everything. You know, I was just going to show you the cover to, you know, Wolf in Sleep's Clothing. I think this is hip because, you know, as we know, and this is part of the idea, careful with that, it's the only one. I lost a very, very dear friend, Bill Bodner, William Mad Dog Bodner.
Who had done the first two
He
albums.
Did the first two, and he was scheduled to do the third one. And this is a really fine artist, John, that he, you know, I played a party for him, and I went in to go to the bathroom, and they said, oh, yeah, those are all his paintings on the wall. And I realized how awesome he was, and I said, well, I got a bit of a problem here because I got a brother-sister-brother record that, you know, this trilogy needs to be assembled. It needs, to be unified. Well, like I say, the conceptual continuity. And he looked at them both. And he goes, "Oh, I can do this. I can do this." And wonderfully enough, it's
and they're all black and white.
He beat the album. Well, you know, the idea is that this is gray. Now, let me make this clear here. You're looking at this on white, but the picture itself, the white will be gray, and the ink will be black.
Okay.
Okay. Because this is just, you know, these are the values: black, white, gray. You know, in the tree of life and the supernal order of things, you know, that's how that works. There's the white on top, the gray area, and then the black over here. And it, so I kind of wanted to keep with that. You know, my 10-disc series was all about the color wheel.
Colors, right.
So, yeah, we're going into values now. And I guess even a little bit of moral principle, you know, if I can get that figured out in time.
So John is producing all three.
Yes, and, absolutely. He will probably be producing everything I do from now on. I have not, you know, we've got, the truth is there are 22 in the can. 7 or 8 are fully loaded with their...
For the next album.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But it has grown into... This will be a double album. I can tell it's going to be a double album due to the time it's going to take to get the funds together, and the songs are coming. I've got a lot of songs coming right now. Another thing about the live album features 7 brand new songs, okay? That's like a half hour of new music. In the 60s, that would have been another album in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to boast, but I want to clarify this. My live album has within itself 7 unreleased new songs, okay?
Now, are any of
apart from these... No, they're not
on. They're not going to be the third album.
No. In fact, there were so many coming in for Wolf that's when I changed the title of the album and gave half of it to the live record.
Okay.
And decided I want my live album to be today, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay? So Garryton was today. It was on the Garryton tour with M&R Rush. And tomorrow is too late. You know, I wanted it in there now. So, yeah, I got these new ones that are unreleased.
Right.
But then I thought, well, gee, I'm not going to drop money on them twice.
Well, this was recorded, the live album, which we're going to get to also tonight. That was recorded at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan, when you were performing with M&R Rush. And at that time, you were saying, these are brand new songs that'll probably be on the next album.
Right, right.
So we're past that now.
I must say, if I would not have got hung up on this live album, that album would have been out April 20th.
Okay.
That studio album would have been done. But there was a severance that went on where I opted to play 5 brand new ones before they're out. And they went over so well, I was just thrilled with the performance. They felt good. You know, I was starting to feel the semblance, like, ooh, here comes that continuity. And they were really working with the other tracks. I mean, they're being designed to do that in the studio, but I didn't expect them live bare versions to really work, because some of them are, the third album's even thicker than the second one. It cone like it's, you know, they're getting bigger as it goes. The fourth one is going to involve the full-on band. You know, that's my very next project with John, and I can't wait to do it.
And before we get into the third one, let's play the second one. We already heard First Day of Fall from the first album of 2017, Scribbler on the Roof. We're going to go now to the current album that's out, Streets of Garryton. And this one came out in 18, is that correct?
Yes, 2018 on 420.
On 420.
Hey, it's 419, you got a minute.
And this is the 6th track, A Spider Comes Along. So let's play.
Can I say that this is I think my all time favorite song.
This is,
and
goodie.
I am not kidding.
It's, of all your stuff?
I'm not kidding. I feel like this is that. I don't want to use a word like epic, but when, you know, I'm very poetic, and it's got over 400 words in it. All right, where an average song will have 90. You know, it's got that. So please bear with me, folks. It's a little long, a little gloomy. I'm not as sad as this song is. It's method acting, but enjoy.
So this is like the Shakespeare of Jeff's epics.
Or the Chris Farley of, well, let's just see if we can get that.
How many words can we fit?
Oh, we got Bill Shakespeare over. He's going to grow up and be a writer, is he?
Streets of Garryton and A Spider Comes Along. More with Jeff on the other side.
Thank you.
by the bitten moon from the middle of the room, an Arctic desert in the stars of celluloid and gloom. There's good news and there's other news in the wake of all this attitude and meddling with the flesh and love abuse. Showman must go on, however out of touch. A singer for the sake of it is never quite enough. Reabsorbed by you, it's crazier than true. Looking for a window in a movie we should do. The songs of integers, mysterical and mighty words of death by misadventure. The deed that shakes the darkest ground, the vision rises off the page. One long slither in the sand, a spectral stay much worse than fate. To hell with technicalities, flirting with the squalor busy shaping my trajectory. The idiot of the hour hanging from the hemlock tree. Blasted to the senses, branded to the bone, a sigil in the dustage, whose death is on the phone. The years have acted on the nerves, the memories of a one-man band. This world is a projection room that nothing understands. One tends to bend, return, descend. It just depends on who's pretending again and who's doing the bending. I've been shrinking ever since. I need something in my size. There's nothing left to rinse. Wipe this madness from my eyes. The circle of these holy stones, divine disdain reserves the right to darken up and roll the bones tonight. She'll be coming round a wildwood church and leaving a believer if the music doesn't get there first. In a whisper with no filter, maybe screaming bloody murder in a van down by the river of the wayward. Showman must go on, holy and so hideous. A spider comes along with a flower in its fist. Reabsorbed by you, it's crazier than true. Daring us to do what we're dying to.
So, hey, Tommy, what do you think of that?
Oh, man. It makes me want to put my midnight voice on, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, I know I'd get you there.
For
those of you that have just joined us, listen to Johnny and his whale sounds.
That's wild.
I was so thrilled with that. Eventually, he was kicking me out of the sessions because I was interrupting the whales. What do you think, George?
Love it.
Jeff Sarver, my guest here on Midwest Beat, Lakeshore Public Radio. Streets of Garryton is the name of the album that you can find that song on. That's A Spider Comes Along.
Tom, real quick, they're tearing down Garryton School. Started hitting the news. Yeah, it was just donated to the city, and they're going to tear it down. So I got
so
that
you
one
made
out
the
just,
album
in
just in time.
I might have to get over and get a photo session real quick as well.
I already metal detected it.
Did you?
So that's album 2 of 3.
Right.
Now, the third one, we're gonna have you play a couple live songs in just a bit, but the third one, we're looking at October, and that's The Wolf in Sleep's Clothing.
Correct.
Because he's a lazy wolf.
That's right. I don't know that he's lazy. He's just out of his mind. He's hooked on something. That didn't come out right.
Is he a werewolf or is he a wolf?
Well, we just don't know.
Because it's coming out on
Halloween.
And, you
know, if I could get that figured out, I'd be a rich man right now. I know. I feel that much. That's what keeps me making these records that don't sell.
I get the feeling he's looking for that little Riding Hood girl.
Well, you know, it's always been a part of the game. I didn't get a guitar to get a degree. I got a guitar to get some...
All right.
Now, some poetry is the word.
There you go. That said, real quick.
This is called Spook House Jukin'. It's a new... I want to say this about the live album. What's fun about this, folks, is it's 17 songs. Every odd song on the album is a new one. The first song is new. The third song is new. The fifth song is new. This is track 7. It's Spook House Jukin'. I wrote this about a very dear friend of mine. I don't know whether I should say her name or not.
Does she know who she is?
I'm sure she knows who she is, but she may not be listening right now.
But she'll listen to the playback.
But it was, one of the first songs that I wrote in a major key right after this Streets of Garryton, and it started shifting the Wolf in Sleep's Clothing around. So, yeah, there's this new thing going on in there. But we'll get it all handled, and we'll get it to you if you're into it. Enjoy this, please.
All right. This is live from the Acorn, Jeff Sarver, and the forthcoming live album, 17 songs, can't believe it.
You know, sharks gotta eat. The way, oh, the way, suffocating, more than we can pretend, it vibrates. Time and time again, spook house juking where the sun don't shine. Downtown, dirty brown, favorite of mine. It's true. The closer I get to the clear blue you, showy in your Bowie chrome, leave it alone. I tell myself, can feel it in my bones. A table for two in the wild unknown. Spook house jukin' like we're never coming home. We can just jump over the night with a bucket of starlight. After a day on a rim so dim, the road bends, makes me less. Time and time again, the time will stand. Tied up tight, or tied down right. Shadow window tap on the moonlight. Don't wanna wake up the world, I need to see you somehow. You were always the girl that I was thinking about. Spook house juking where the sun don't shine. A voice says and a stage left behind. Entirely immersed and recklessly inclined. I can't get you out of my mind.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, that was actually quite a pleasant crowd that night. And I want to say something. You know, I was very proud to be a part of that because the first concert I ever went to was at the Portage High School, and it was M&R Rush.
And there you
were. The old Portage High School.
Playing a show with them.
Yeah, and that really felt... If you remember, I took my Reach for the Stars record in there, and I had
and
them all signed it.
I do remember that.
Two or three of them are looking at it like, man, I ain't even seen this. And it's, well, you know, you should see my record collection, buddy.
Jeff was the fanboy that night. But it's interesting, this album, this live album, 17 songs, it was actually recorded over two shows at the Acorn, about 6 months apart.
Right.
You were opening for Classical Blast.
And it was a total of 19 songs, and honestly, I'm proud to say we kept 17 of them.
Wow.
You know?
And the other ones weren't taken out because of flaws. They were taken out because they had the continuity.
I didn't feel they fit. Yeah, they were the, you know, you like Scream Little Demon, and then,
I do like
nope,
that.
I got to go to work. I said, no, this is bluegrass music. I just opened for M&R Rush. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the bar, kick those two out, and take two. They're small. I'll call you in the morning.
So that album, we don't know for sure when it's coming out, only that it is coming out.
If I can't do them on April 20th, I like them out on Halloween. I don't believe in anything like a Christmas rush anymore. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing as a rush that involves my name any longer. This is something I'm doing for my health. So I try to make that Halloween mark, but I don't get all freaked out like, it's got to be out for Christmas. Because, Christmas is just like Monday, you know, in Nam or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference. Nobody's buying Jeff Sarver records. And you got some music back there with like a fiddle, little baby fiddle a violin thing, some soft crying type of, or maybe somebody asked me where my albums could be purchased.
Where could they be purchased?
Well, gee, Tom, at your house.
You'd get a couple at mine.
I'm sorry. Don't you dare tell them where we live. No. I'm sorry it's not on record. I'm starting to have a feeling that had I put it on vinyl, maybe I would have sold three.
You have sold, though. I mean, these albums...
I'd love to self-deprecate. It's one of my biggest hobbies.
These two albums have sold a fair amount, considering local releases and the way they sell in Northwest Indiana.
Well, that's good to hear.
We are completely out of Scribbler.
Have been for a long time. That record sold out in a good 14 months. It did its job.
Scribbler,
it really did.
Caught me immediately. It became like my new favorite album forever.
I appreciate that
a lot. Garryton, maybe because I like Scribbler so much, took a little longer to grow on me, but it is now in that same realm. They definitely are companions.
And it is certainly, and it's, like I said earlier, it's complexualizing as it goes, where there are two times as many lyrics on the second one, and I mean this quite literally, there's almost twice as much of everything. And when you start as sparse as some songs are just my voice and my guitar, that leaves the room for it to just keep funneling and getting larger. I kind of like the continuity to keep growing or expanding and expounding and still retain the feel of what, you know, how Streets relates to Scribbler. They do have that same mood, that same kind of...
And the third album will as well.
I believe so. We are reaching out into some really weird Mellotron areas and more Evos and...
Full band, you said, that album?
No, I'm afraid that's going to have to hold for the fourth.
So that'll be you and John again.
Yeah, I didn't want to break up this chemistry.
Right.
And when it's just the two of us, we really get down head to head. What do you think? Well, give me a minute. Shut up, Jeff, you know. When I am told three or four times to shut up, I know we're onto something good. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just go in there screaming, and I think it forces him to not. So, George has been at a lot of these records too. He says, "Yeah, it's a peculiar way this guy operates."
Those songs are recorded now. All the songs,
22 are laid
22.
Down, and we have
seven more.
No, there's because the others ended up on
the live album.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So it's already in a place. You know, there's 31 on the White album. And it's pretty eclectic record. I've been trying to reach for different instruments and different sounds. So for this third piece, you know, that's part of the backup too. You know,
But it's still just the two of you.
Yeah.
Even though there's multiple instruments.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're just going to be stretching out with some different stringed instruments and whatnot. You know, with our own
So if you like what you've heard so far on what we've played, you'll like the third album coming out sometime as close to Halloween as we can make it. John Carpenter, again, producing, mixing, mastering, playing on. What a great guitar player he is.
I love him. Yeah,
he's something else.
Yeah, he really is extraordinary. You know,
and they say a producer can make or break a record.
And can I say this real quick? I am probably not making the most professional, best move by making three albums in a row that are so dour and morose.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he came to it with his colorizations, I just didn't mind going to sleep to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was meant to be, you know, a sleep rock of sort. You know, I that doesn't even make sense. Who's going to come to the show and go to sleep and pay for it? I don't know. But, you know, it felt like it's worth the whole trip, because I am in the middle of this third one. Like, I'm afraid I'm getting a little too morose or staying that way for too long.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to guarantee and assure everyone that, you know, we're starting a rock band album. And what that means is I'm clicking my parts now so we can bring drums in and go in that direction.
So the fourth album will be a much more upbeat
and
album.
And, you know, I've already shown songs to you, George, you know, the Fade Away to Whites. And there's several that are definitely galloping in a dun 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 dun. And I'll probably be playing electric too on that
okay.
one. I'm anxious to get back on the electric guitar. It's been 10 years since I have played electric guitar or had drums on a record. As of this year, that's the weird, whoa, you know, let's get back to the
get
rock if we can.
The old Jeff.
Well, I had to, it was a tough time. Big accident, breakup albums, you know, but I'm feeling better. I'm crazier than ever, but I do believe the music is growing and it's getting good. You know, so please, just check it out, everybody, please, you know.
Well, the third album, as we mentioned, is probably going to be a double. The live album, which you just heard from, will also be included in some way around that same time, whether it's packaged with or released simultaneously. Let's play something live.
You want to do something live?
Yeah, let's do something live off the forthcoming third installment of this.
This
which
would
is...
be on Wolf in Sleep's Clothing.
It has a beautiful guitar, too. That is Road Worn.
Yes, sir. This is called Secrets in the Stars. Are you going to tape this?
I could.
Then let's not start in the middle. Oh, you're seeing what the wife wants for dinner, aren't you? No, because I'm getting sick of people starting at 20 seconds into the song.
Well, we are officially videotaping.
I didn't drive out here to get the last half of this two-minute song, okay? Thank you. There. Well, I just sit and stare if it's the last thing that I do. I'm gonna find my way to you. Tapping on my windows, so in tune. Come on now, invite the liquid moon. So much left to share inside, there. I close my eyes and hide from where it is. Things to do like you and me, I can't resist. I'm having a hard time trying to say what I've been feeling inside these days. The mountain's coming down in a most peculiar way. It ends all time uptown with the skeletons and clowns. I'm on the move. Well, I slowly turn my head and lay back down. At last, I'm just a face in the glass, standing in the shadows of the past. Silken tattered banner in retreat. Our secrets in the stars, and so are we. Susie. And then it got real quiet.
Now, the title of that, was that the
That's
title track?
It's called Secrets in the Stars.
Okay.
Nice. Real nice.
Excellent stuff.
Thank you. I know we're running out of time. There's more. How do you want to do this?
Well, we've got about 15 minutes.
Have we?
We can do another live song if you like. I know you want to get to that new poetry project.
You know,
well.
A Fade Away to White would be great.
Okay, let me give you one more. But let me get some backup. This one, these are laid, but they haven't been played live, so I can't trust that I know them.
I think that is pretty unique as well. Obviously, the listeners can't see this, but you have handwritten lyrics. You still do it old school.
It is the only way I work, and I have a tape recorder, too. And I have a $5,000 home studio. But I live in my bed with a tape recorder plugged into the wall right there on the nightstand like a freak with several clipboards, five different albums going on every 36 minutes, plenty of pens, and it is all a true story.
Wow.
I mean, I can't. Tom, I'm not even going to tell you how many songs I've written since I was last here because it's so unbelievable. People just start thinking I'm
I don't know how you find time to write.
I don't have a life.
Every time I see
I don't have
you,
a life.
It's
all I do. I write 9 hours a day, quite on the average, every single day of my life.
Wow.
Since my accident, there has been there's no day work. It's gigs when they're happening, but I am locked in my room, and everyone around me will officiate that. I'm up at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, clipboard and lap. And again, I'm in a place where I'm just writing like this. I'm not even picking up the guitar, waking up the house, but it begins that early. Then when phones start ringing around 8 or 9, it slows down. I get my coffee in me, and then, the day takes off. But I get a splendid 4 or 5 hours in strong in the morning. Very much a morning person now, ever since my accident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a binger when I party, and that can go on for days. That can lead to a hospital. I wish it would stop, but, it just happened again, several months ago. So I can't trust me for that. And it's just like everywhere I go, everything I do is going to be big. And not big ain't the word for it. It's
jumbo.
It's like a freaking, it's a flow. It's a constant. It's a artesian well of idiocy. It takes a whole village to raise one. An idiot, that is.
All right.
Can we do another one?
Yeah, let's do another one.
I wrote this one for John Carradine. I'm not going to say anything about what that means.
Here to fly the fire dog side. Put his neck around the rope in the wrong place, hanging at the right time. From ballot to battle, too keen for his shadow. It's humor from the gallows, getting back in the saddle. Do it till you die, just to feel like you're alive. Nothing's on the mend until you're doing it again. Hangman's holding, opportunities are cold and lawman. Hangman's holding, coming and going, nobody knowing. Hangman's holding, here to fly the fire dog side. Little shady in the least, if you please, with the ladies of the night. Now everything has got a price. There's nothing you can buy on the fly like your own demise. Do it till you die, just to feel like you're alive. Nothing's on the mend until you're losing it again. Hangman's holding, opportunities are golden, lawman. Hangman's holding, coming and going with nobody knowing. Hangman's holding. Now bid to fly the fire dog's side. Put his neck around the rope in the wrong place, hanging at the right time.
Wow. Awesome stuff, man.
Now, so let's talk for just a moment about somebody being found in a closet all tied up.
Coming and going.
Coming and going.
Wow.
Nobody knowing.
Now, one of the things that fascinates me about all of your
hopefully
work.
The true story end of it,
mm-hmm.
because I want to bring the news, man, not the blues.
The wordage, the verbiage that you use, I mean, you use strong, powerful, colorful words, words that on their own paint a picture, and you string them together into these story songs.
I appreciate you noticing that, Tom, I really do.
Were you always a wordsmith, even as a kid? I mean, in school, you were writing in English class and things, were you always
Absolutely.
This?
I started out, I was probably more visual in drawing and painting. I won my first songwriter contest in seventh grade, a Porter County songwriter con. No, it was a talent show.
Okay.
It was a Porter County talent show. But I think that's the moment my mom realized, wow, good song. You know, I was writing it in my room and wasn't sharing it with everybody. Was a little shy about it. I've always been kind of a class clown, but there's no doubt when you start writing a song and that young, you know, just like as awkward as adolescence is, it's not the easiest thing to do, to sit down and say, well, Mom, what do you think of this? So I wouldn't show it to anybody. And God, was it... I was trying to think of the title. I can't even remember the title of the song. Hmm. But I did get first place, and I was so proud because everybody was allowed 6th through 9th grade in all the schools. It was held over at Grissom. And I was just proud to have won and beat out some older people and surprised that my own tune did that for me, you know. So then I did another one at Fagley. I did an original thing. And it was another good feeling, or a sign that I guess I'm going in this direction. Because we're talking, well, Lennon died when I was 13, and it was the year before that. So, I mean, we are literally talking about a preteen, literally, you know. No, mom's clear enough to know that, yes, I was writing songs by 11, but I was finishing them by 12 and a half and playing them live pretty good at 13.
Now, at that point, did you know?
And all I can do is, and that I've grown up, is look back at people that young, and they're out there. I see them everywhere on the internet. This ain't nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
Little people can be little geniuses. You know what I mean? It's all true. We've all got this.
Did you know at that time that this was going to be your destiny? That this is what you
wanted
certain. To do?
I keep going back to Mom, but you know, that's as early as it started. You know, my guitar, I got the electric guitar at 8, started the acoustic lessons at 5, so I have no memory of being without it. So the only way I can kind of go back that far is to relevate to how Mom, you know, reacted to it, and it turned into, we better get him in child psychology because he don't want to do nothing but his basketball Jones with his guitar. You know, I didn't want to come out of my room. She'd tell you, a 7-year-old birthday party, and I got 7 friends there from school. We're all pinning the tail on a donkey. Jeff don't want to pin the tail on a donkey. He wants to write a song about the political system or, you know, what are you doing with Animal Farm? I thought I bought you Dr. Seuss. Well, you know, I got through it pretty quick, Ma. Can you shut the door and leave me alone?
Wow.
I got weird. It actually did get weird, you know, and almost maybe a little negative, or it turned into a, ooh, I'm going to show the world. And now here comes my Bob Dylan camp concept, where it's like, you know what, Dylan, it's a very small camp. You're lucky if you get to sit down there, and we really don't care what you think of us.
Right, right.
All right, because this whole life is about this music, you know?
It's almost...
And I don't know how many of us are really left like this that have this... I'm not proud of this sickness, but I know it's a sickness.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Thank you, George.
It's
he
almost...
Said he had, I bring you 23 Jeff Starr realms, 17 of those are his. I forget the titles of them. It's like, yeah. I have long, I know this sounds like, yeah, right, sure, sorry, let me put a gun to your head. Tell me what album you forgot you didn't do in 92. Hey, that I might get shot. I don't know.
You don't have most of your albums.
No, that's my point. I watched Johnny Depp on David Letterman, and David Letterman goes, what are we about to see here? And he goes, I don't know. You guys picked the clip. And he goes, you look like you don't even watch your movies. I don't.
So once you're done, you pretty much move on.
That's why I'm not getting anywhere. I'm running a factory. It's like, here, it's done. Yeah, blame him. And Jose, where you been all my life? You're getting everything right tonight, Jose. Way to hustle. Yeah.
We got about 7-8 minutes left. Let's talk about this new project you're doing with George.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Above and Beyond, the trilogy of albums, Above and Beyond the live album, and even the full band album coming up down the road. You have a new project, a poetry project that sounds very American Prayer-ish.
Yes, exactly. I'll tell you, that's a little bit the finest way to put it, you know, because we weren't raised on too many spoken word albums because not every Allen Ginsberg thing is going to work. I'm not even a fan of the beat live.
The Kerouac stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they're fine writers, but we are, you know, I don't know how to explain it, you know, but when we started working on the road, I realized more and more, wow, he takes more notes than I do. And then he reads his, and it's better than mine. It's like, we got to get that down. But I think we made George's first album in about 98, was it? Because he, too, has got 5 or 6 now.
All spoken word.
97.
All spoken word?
Shave cat, yes.
Yeah, and with music behind. Just I, like I American some... Prayer is a perfect, because it's like 80% music, and then some of it is, you know, me and my mother and father, you know, like where they're bare, they're just storytelling.
Now, you've got several guests on this next one.
Yeah, part of the, you know, I kind of asked George's permission, because when we started getting back together on this, I said, man, I got to tell you, I've got a lot of really great work here from Ron Buffington. When My Hand Was Down, I did 16 tracks with John Dorado, and we put some of George's readings on some of John's stuff. And then there's several other artists that, you know, I was, I had in the Poe Project that I'm working on that, you know, we blended them over. They liked it. They came back and did redos. And pretty soon, I thought, George, we got 17 guests on this, and we're not quite done. We're going to roll through August or September, and we're still reading through, you know, a good 40 or 50 pages
now,
of stuff that need music.
Are these pieces that, George, you've written or Jeff's written? Or both?
He's all lyrics. I'm all music. That's what this has been.
I did a couple synthesizer parts on some of the earlier stuff. You won't hear that tonight, though. But
yeah, one of his albums, I was loaned a really hip keyboard, and he saw it. He said, man, I got to take that home. And he took it home and got going on it, learning a couple patterns. And I said, well, shoot, I'll come over there with the mobile unit, and we'll record you right there. And because we were working on he had an organ in the house, too. So we've always been expounding with... Okay. And it was a $5,000 keyboard or something. I was lucky to have it. So, you know, it was neat to have him playing on it, and he's not a musician. This song is called Hold the Doom. We hope that it will be the opening track on the album. It has not been finished mastered yet, so it might be turned up a little bit. It's a very soft piece. But
is there a title to this album?
Hold the Doom. The album is called Moth.
Moth.
In parentheses, Butterfly of the Night, we're thinking. May just be Moth.
So this is George and Jeff.
Correct. And Susie's on this record, too.
And Susie's on this, too.
I'm doing all the music. Susie's reading. George is reading.
All right. This is our final track. Thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. This will take us out.
Thank you for having me.
We were so dug in the city, under danger and harsh moon. Everything happens around us.
I need to punch in.
With bright... evening, trance-like days.
My perspective shift is about to begin.
Dancing through the alley maze.
Talk with me.
Stumbling.
There's a dreadful
falling,
beauty in our truth.
Crawling for salvation.
My eyes reveal the proof.
And empty bottles of salvage.
You need only look.
We must now abandon our tracks.
Write a book.
Rewind the time she has spun
me.
Around this town.
If it frightens and excites
or
at
be
once,
stuck like a fly
it might be
in
time
the web.
To take the plunge.
Watching a ready to love
ablaze,
fire.
Engulfed in flame.
Licking the wounds.
It can't be extinguished.
Of winter.
So we relinquish.
A pissed kiss.
Seek sanctuary.
Drooling.
Come on with
the old lesson.
Let me show you around my
shedding
web.
The new fear.
It's linear, she said.
The worst is almost here.
Run with me.
With her blood gloves on. Ready.
Try this again.
To kick the invisible.
Hold the
doom. Welcome to the darkness that is the world of Jeff Sarver
can
tonight.
Can you see how... I said, George, while you're getting darker than me, come on, bring it. And he brought it, and I said, wait, take half of that back. We can't move around now. We're going to look like hoarders over here, you know?
October is when we can expect to have the Jeff Sarver albums out, and this album, The Spoken Word.
This will go under George Rebar's name, but, you know, with special guests. And it is almost like full of duets, at least,
because
there's
be on
many
the
guests.
Jeff Sarver Facebook page will announce it.
Oh, yeah. We'll get all that. Right. George has his own page as well. So.
All right. Time to head into the headlines. I'm Lounges. Thank you for being here. Adios.
Thank you.
See ya.